so good to know that and to know what is going to really do it for someone, and why I think, again, all of these different combinations, and when you have the one-on-one time, you even get that greater sort of knowing or being able to sense that with people. But even in multiple person sort of experiences, it's great because you can kind of create that experience for someone who might want the kinky, more BDSM, bondage, restraints type of stuff, or someone who's going to want the sensual massage, you know, massage with the sensory experience, or maybe it's probably like you, take it all.
Welcome to the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Kahlo. Welcome to conversations about open relationships, online dating, conscious uncoupling, and creating the relationship that truly aligns for you. Welcome back. I have a guest today, Dr. Rachel Meyer. She's a psychologist and sex and relationship coach. But what I'm most excited about is she is in a closed poly triad with her husband, Aaron, and her wife, Casey. I will put Casey's Instagram handle below because it is really fun to follow. So just going to add that in. Their tagline is always a party, never a crowd, which I really love. And this triad is constantly adventuring through life, through travel, trying different restaurants, going to shows, or creating fun date nights at home. So today, Rachel and I are going to talk about sex and intimacy in a triad. I know that like having a threesome is the thing that almost everyone in the world wants, mostly men, especially men that are straight, hetero, like it's at the top. So people like you and I get to have threesomes all the time. Like it becomes your normal way of having sex. And I know that for the majority of humans, I'm sure that blows their mind. So I'm so excited about this conversation because then our audience can hear not just about my sex, but your sex, what it looks like. So would you please tell us a little bit more about you? Did you, and I'm assuming you and Aaron were first maybe together and then you added in your wife. Like, tell us all of how this happened.
Sure. Yes, I mean, you're pretty much spot on. And I would say it's something that as much as that fantasy is out there and most of us think it's a guy thing, and the comments on our social media are always like, oh, lucky guy, lucky guy, lucky guy, lucky guy. I'm always like, and lucky women for those of us that are bisexual or have an interest in multiple genders, that is just as much a fantasy for us. And I recall going way back, Aaron and I got together when we were 18, sophomore year of college, and early on in our relationship, having fantasies around threesomes, talking about it, watching pornography that was about threesomes. So it was definitely a shared interest as early on as I can remember. But it was also one of those things that it was like, how do you ever make that come to fruition? It seemed so far-fetched, like someone's going to just walk up to you, especially in our case, it was a preference for a girl because of my bisexuality, and be like, hey, can I go home with you tonight? No. So it was always a fun thing that we talked about, but it took 7-8 years, I think, into our relationship to even realize that it was something that we could make happen. So fast forward a little bit, that was at a strip club one night, and it was an adult themed like Halloween party. It was awesome. It was fun. And someone on the way out handed me a card that said Cassidy.com. And that was all that was on the business card. Of course, I'm like, Cassidy. So I go in and I get on the website, and it's a swinging lifestyle website. And this whole like new world came out of, this is where you meet people that might want to have a threesome. Mind blown. But all of a sudden, the thing that we've been talking about for years actually was potentially a possibility. So, oh my God, it must have been weeks, months before we actually took action to go to a swingers club in Colorado at the time, Scarlet Ranch, when we lived there, to say, if we're going to do this, like, this is the place that would maybe meet people. Eventually built up the courage, had all kinds of wonderful, great communication going into it, had our boundaries, blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, that's sort of where the foray into more of an open relationship, ethical, non-monogamous relationship happened. And clearly my fantasies about women came to be a reality, and I did actually really enjoy it. And we did that for about 10 years, more or less in the swinging lifestyle and much more casual, and had a lot of great experiences and met a lot of really awesome, wonderful people. But at some point it was like, do we just keep doing this? It felt somewhat unfulfilling, somewhat unsatisfying. But at the time, I did not know anything about polyamory or this idea that you could actually build a relationship with people until I met a triad in the lifestyle and actually met some quads and some of the people that were living together, raising kids together, own houses together. I was like, really? You could do this? I mean, it was so against any of the narratives, any of the scripts I'd been given growing up. But again, Aaron and I sat down and we talked about it. We communicated about it and how would we actually go about. Do we really want to share our lives, open up our lives, you know, renegotiate everything we've built and work together? And basically came down to the conclusion that, yeah, it would, especially for me. And I was the one who sort of drove this show the entire time and was the one, he's awesome. I mean, Aaron is absolutely fabulous. There was nothing wrong with our relationship. We had no issues we were trying to fix. He's lovely, awesome, wonderful. And he was willing to do this. More or less because it was an interest of mine and his fantasy, like all men, to have two women. Of course, I think I could go for that. But then we got in the dating app and we put a profile together and we were intentional about learning how to do it ethically and unicorn hunting and things to avoid and the whole shebang, which certainly happy to answer any questions, but matched with Casey on Bumble about 4.5 years ago now. And it was like, literally love at first sight between three people, which I also recognize is very rare, does not happen often. But from night one, basically 12 days later, the whole backstory, we were on a full-blown road to a triad relationship and a committed relationship that turned into a wedding commitment ceremony last November. And here we are today.
So. Thank you for sharing all of that. So like, this isn't a throuple podcast, by the way, but I have fallen in love with Throuple Talk, who I think are also connected with you. And I've talked about them almost on every episode since I first found them and then was on their podcast. And I'm like, it's so important that we, those that are able to show up in this world, talk about this kind of thing, because to your point, it just started with curiosity and a couple decades later, here you are living together in a throuple, but it all started with, I'm kind of interested in women, to like, right. Let's go to a strip club on Halloween, to like, what is this card? And by the way, Cassidy is still a thing for those that are listening. There's all kinds of ways to dip your toe into the, what we call the lifestyle, or, you know, ethically non-monogamous relationships or open relationships. And then it just led from one thing to the other. And I keep hearing stories because I listen to their podcast religiously, like the twice a week drops. I'm like the first one watching it. And I keep hearing this resounding theme of it moved fast. It was love at first sight, which is fascinating. So I wonder, you're a psychologist and a coach, I wonder if open people in open relationships are just more open to love and more accepting of people's flaws than the majority of what you find on, say, Tinder, where people are like, I've been doing this for 6 years and I haven't found her, you know? And I'm curious, have you seen anything in your own practice about this?
I think that's a fascinating question, and actually one that I had not really, I guess, put that much thought into until you just said that. But and what where my mind is going is sort of twofold. I think you're actually spot on. And so one of the very first things I recall going to Scarlet Ranch that very first time, regardless of anything sexual or play or whatnot, was how open-minded everyone was and these kinds of conversations that we were having. And the love and non-judgment and accepting was just so clear and unlike any place I'd ever been.
Yeah.
So I 100% agree that I think there's just something in terms of the personality, level of intellect, willingness to be open, personal growth, all of that stuff that definitely plays a role and plays a factor into people that do consensual non-monogamy well. There's a whole other host of people, and I think there's probably varying differences there that why it's not working. And then the other thing I was thinking right away, especially when you're talking triads and throuples, you hear in the polyamory communities a lot of backlash on that. And there's a lot of real negative conversation, a lot of negative talk, or you hear a lot of the horror stories and things that go awry that makes me wonder, again, two sort of different groups of people, but the ones that are successful and like ours or the Throuple podcast or many others that are out there, because often it is a primary partnership or primary relationship that is quote unquote adding the third, right? Or more people are joining. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stability and security and foundation, I think, in the couples that are already together before them coming together, that you have that longevity of knowing how to have healthy conflict resolution or good communication skills. I mean, it bumps it up a whole different level, but there has to be some sort of baseline there that I think is already going to help support that for sure. And then to your point, right, are you more open to taking people for who they are, not focusing on flaws, but recognizing that we all have strengths that can contribute and make us better people? Are you willing to just grow and work on yourself? And a lot of just being humble and open to feedback that, yeah, I think it's absolutely part of the experience.
I'm going to reference her podcast again because I just listened to it this morning. And the current couple that's on, they said, it's really rare for throuples to make it. I don't know what that means. I don't think there's enough of us that there's stats on this yet, but I can understand that. It's difficult to be in relationship with one other person, let alone three or four or however many. And I was thinking, we are coming up on our year of being, we have two throuples. We do. We have two women that we're dating, two girlfriends, and two separate throuples that just for the first time sexually merged this last weekend. And it was awesome. Fucking amazing. But anyway, we have two. And so our longest girlfriend will now come up upon our year anniversary with her in April. So we're almost there. And we were talking about this over the weekend. We had this weekend in Dallas where we went to Colette's and we went to the sex club and we did all the things. It was so much fun. And I said, like, why do you think we have made it this far? You know? And she said, well, we continue, like, it's not that there's not an outdoor, like a door to get out, but it's like we continuously work on it. So anytime we have issues and things get crunchy, things break down, we repair it. We always have these conversations about, okay, well, what happened and how can this do better and how can we all do better? And like, let's have clearer communication. Let's set better boundaries. And we had some breakdown that led to some repair this weekend that we were all together. And I thought, I don't know if this happens in normal relationships. I don't think it does. But the amount of clear and conscious communication that you have to be in relationship with more than one person, even to be in relationship with one person, it should be the standard. And so I think that you're onto something that, like, it's hard to be in relationship with three people, and that's why throuples don't last. But it's easier to be in relationship once you learn how to be conscious in the way that you do it. And so I wonder, to your point, or to my point, whatever point it was at the beginning, I'm curious if that is why these relationships are easier, in my opinion. So one quick thing I just want to add is I keep hearing, it's so hard to find a third. It's so hard to find a unicorn. And it has not been our experience that it is hard at all, because that's been our dynamic. So Scott and I only date women and we only date together. And so we've just been super clear. Like, here's our dynamic. You don't fit in our dynamic. That's cool. We can be friends, but like, we're not adjusting this to fit what you want because this works for us. And so when we've been super clear, like, we've had a lot of opportunity and several girlfriends over the last couple of years that we've been open. And I think there's just not this weird picky thing. Like, she's just not my type. She doesn't fit these qualifications. Like, I have high standards, like all the things that you hear on these dating apps. It's like, she's amazing and she's conscious and has great communication and we can work through hard shit. Like, those are my qualifiers.
Right. I would wholeheartedly agree. And for 10 years, we had great success seeing all kinds of women and had a lot of awesome experiences. And exactly like you, I think we were just so upfront and so clear. And we knew that we were doing this together. And there's inherently nothing wrong with that whatsoever, as long as you let the other person know and they know what it is that they're getting into. And probably another component that makes the triad or throuple situation work for those of us that do. And I think you're right. I don't think we have enough statistics at all. And you hear about so many that fail, but the divorce rate is like 70% anyway. So any relationship is not good unless you're going to have that clear and conscious communication to begin with. And in a two-person relationship, it's you versus me in a triad, all of a sudden you actually have the asshole test that we say, and it makes you be humble and to grow. So I think in a lot of ways it can help you. But what was I about to say? Oh, but I think when you find the third, or you find your acorn, you find someone who is open or willing to come into a partnered relationship already, they actually have, and it was our case with Casey, an inherent desire for themselves for that reason. I know for Casey, she actually told us she was looking for a couple that already had a long-term stable relationship, because that demonstrated you've got the ability to be in a relationship that you work through things like conflict healthy, in a healthy way, right? All of these things, I'm like, oh yeah, from the other person's point, it's not just our play toy or something like that. Like, this is a three-way working, you know, mutual benefit all the way around. For sure.
Yes. Do you three, I'm assuming y'all live together, right?
We do.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question. So we don't live with either of our girlfriends. We still have kids at home. One of them has like four kids. The other one's old enough that her child could now have children. So it's like we have this span. But I have started playing with like a polycule calendar, where with the girlfriend that has the kids, she has a husband, he's also dating. We think she's amazing. We're all of this calendar together, so we can figure out schedules and scheduling and all the dates that we want to have with each other. And so I'm curious, like, what is it like? And I'm sure our listeners want to know, like, what is it actually like to have a day-to-day always have a third person? Like, there's always three of you. Is there a huge change between like just being with one person and then all of a sudden now there's three total?
Yeah, I mean, there's 33% more to do, whether that's more housework, more laundry, more communication, more fun, more sex. I mean, it's an extra person. But at the end of the day, I also think that it makes for more variety, overall a positive experience, more variety. And it's really like our tagline, it's always a party, never a crowd, because you have someone to do something with. And if you don't want to, you can take yourself, remove yourself, and know that the other person, you're not sort of the only one that they rely on, right? Or you're not the only person for someone else. They have, so Casey and Aaron absolutely love sports. They love, I don't know, all these things, Marvel movies or something that I have no interest in whatsoever. Great, awesome. I'll go take my yoga class. I'll go do something else that I want to do that they don't have an interest in necessarily. Or all those romantic comedies that I wanted to watch and would make Aaron sit through for years and years. Now Casey and I do that and he can go do his own thing. So for us, it's overall a good thing. But I mean, it definitely does. Like, we were just joking about this morning, because Aaron had told me some elaborate story and we go through the whole thing. And by the time we get together after Casey's work day, it's like, gotta go through the whole thing again, because she missed out the first time. He usually gets like the shortened version, or you miss out on the details. And you know, how many times do you repeat yourself or have to go through something because the other person just wasn't there? Or, you know, some of the things like scheduling, it's now literally having to make sure we get our dyad date nights and our triad date night, and then when we're going to the gym, and when we're working, when we're doing our classes. And all of a sudden those days and the weeks feel even more short or shorter than they used to with two people. Yeah.
Which is why I'm sure having a closed triad is helpful, because with our open one, we have not only the two girlfriends and their own schedules and their own lives, but their own partners and their, and it's like a whole like circus thing. So I think this moves us. Do what?
And you've got kids.
And there's,
I can't even imagine. Oh,
and
yeah.
Ex-husbands and all kinds of things. But it's a blast. But back to you. And I'm thinking about, as we move into our conversation about sex and intimacy in a triad, you kind of already sprinkled some of that in as you were starting to talk about your dyad and your triad. And I can add as well at some point, like, how do we do this? But please tell us, what does this look like? Is it like a threesome every night? Because that's what everybody thinks.
That's what everyone thinks. And it's definitely not the case. Yeah. We are, I mean, and from the very beginning, and by the way, to answer a question about moving in, we knew 12 days after getting together.
That's
moving
awesome.
In together. And then COVID hit, there was a whole other thing. But because we lived together from such an early stage of the relationship, and we knew how important it was to build those individual relationships with each other, not just the triad, we have prioritized dyad date nights and triad date nights really since we got together. And so every Tuesday, basically, we rotate the two. So Aaron and Casey's tonight, or tomorrow, what is the day, is it Monday? Tomorrow will be Aaron and Casey. next week, Aaron and myself, and then Jason and I both third week, right? And then on the weekends, it's always a triad date night for the most part that we try to prioritize. We have Thursday snuggle morning in the calendar. Everything is sort of scheduled out just to make sure that it does feel balanced and that all needs are being covered. And of course, there are moments of spontaneity, and, you know, when things align, any combination, two, three of whatever. But we try to make sure to nourish and cultivate the relationships separately because they are so different, and the intimacy mm-hmm. between each of us feels different when it's just one-on-one versus all three. All three is hot and that's amazing, but honestly, I in a lot of ways feel more connected when I'm just one-on-one with either of them as well.
Same. So back to our we only date women and we only date them together. Mm-hmm. We have finally loosened that rule to the point where, well, that boundary, to the point where once we're in relationship with someone, so again, we have two girlfriends, we've started to see them one-on-one, which is so freaking yummy. And what I've noticed is three ways are amazing and I love the energy, but it's really hard to pay attention to just one person when there's another person and you have to pay attention to them too. And I think for me, I noticed while we were having a lot of threesomes that sometimes I felt performative. Like I felt like I had to have orgasms. They had to be loud. They had to be like I was performing for their pleasure and just move things along, even though I didn't necessarily feel ready. So one of the things I was noticing about myself is they would play first, or him and I would play with her to get her ready. It was about her pleasure that we were prioritizing because we don't live together. So I'm like, if you're going to come over, I'm going to show you a great time. You're going to leave happy. But I wasn't getting turned on because I was focused on her. And then he would get an erection. And then I would be like, well, shit, we better get this show on the road because that's not going to last forever. So then it would be like, penetration. And then 2 or 3 hours later, I was still like, no one's touched me. Right. I'm not ready. Right. Insert lots of lube and me making moaning noises, you know? And so I came clean to them and I was like, this is happening for me and I don't want this. Like, I want to feel, y'all need to fucking include me. Is what I said. Don't forget, yeah. I'm here. And yeah. As we started to break off, so I kind of went first and I had our first one-on-one with our girlfriend, our longest girlfriend that we've had for the longest. I don't want to use her name, so I'm just going to call them, you know, whatever I can. And right. And it was so magical. I was like, I noticed a few things. One, sex with each one of them is totally different one-on-one. She's primal. She like is real lean. She's a cyclist. She's like half the size of me. And she's like slithery. So she does all this slithery energy. It's fast. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. She does not do that when Scott is there. When we have a three-way, it's very much like you would imagine. Like we have a three-way and it's fun and we play with each other and everybody gets off and then we get in the hot tub and we all go to bed. When it's him and her, she was like, it was almost like we were making music together. He was so focused on me and my pleasure, and we just kind of moved together in this way that does not happen when we have a threesome, and in a way that's not like I have sex with him. And it's just been so fascinating. Like each one of our girlfriends is very different. My sex with him is very different than the sex in the three-way. So I love this idea of everybody kind of just getting this one-on-one time and then coming together to all celebrate each other and whatever that looks like. And I'm curious, do you guys ever have like a sexploration night where you're like, let's all learn hot wax play or something like that?
We do. We do. And I think it's awesome because it just brings in newness and diversity and you don't know what you don't know until you try it. So we actually recently did this with role play and none of us had really ever done that. And Aaron, for, I don't remember what it was, he had actually bought these nice candles and had this red silky rope. And we put on a YouTube show that was all about like rope play for rope play 101 for beginners or whatever it was. And we followed along and we learned how to tie different knots. And my God, we had an absolute blast. And talk about where three is helpful in that case. Someone else help figure out where all the ropes go. Yeah, we've done that. We've had, you know, different restraints and new toys that we've gotten together. We go to the adult, you know, sex store and pick out toys, try some new things. Absolutely. I think diet, you know, triads, dyads, quads, whoever it is, whatever your sexual partner is, I think any sort of exploration and trying new things is always well worth it. Even if you decide you don't love it, it enhances communication. It gets you talking about what you like or what you don't like. You learn new things. It's absolutely my must.
I'm sitting here wondering, I wonder if we have more sex than like just heterosexual, monogamous couples.
I'm going to guess yes. I mean, I think part of it, again, when you think about why most of us probably are in monogamous relationships, not that it's always about sex by any means and don't want to give that impression, but I've got to guess a fair amount it starts that way. Whether it turns into polyamory for more deepening connections and relationships, who knows? But because you're, again, open-minded or have this openness or are more sexual, and maybe, again, in my case, having a pretty strong committed relationship for 23 years before we met Casey, and our sex life was great. Like, I'm not gonna let that die down. And now there's another person. Talk about additional people. I mean, that's just inherently going to be 33% more, right? So I think so. And I think in terms of what it does to just continue to feel committed and connected in a relationship, not the end all be all. I mean, there's no normal, there's no right or wrong way. You have to figure out what works for you in your own personal relationship. But it probably something about just it's not taboo. We speak openly about it. We don't have any sort of qualms about having conversations, trying new things, having new experiences. I mean, that's just inherently, I think, probably going to boost it on the scale of greater frequency naturally.
I found since I've become open, you know, in an open relationship, I'm way more intentional about my intimacy than before. Like with my last marriage before we opened, it was like, it's been like a week since we, you know, got naked. We should probably, you know, it wasn't like, now my calendar is like girlfriend number one, girlfriend number two. And then there's a conversation in between that's like, hey, babe, what do you need? What are you feeling? What are you vibing? What do you need this week? You know? And I would have never done that with my ex-husband and been like, what do you need? What do you need from me? What are you craving?
Right.
And it's been fun because like each one of us is a very different erotic blueprint. I don't know if you've studied the erotic blueprints, but like Scott is a energetic and I'm the sexual one. And our other girlfriend is more kinky. And then I have a sensual. So like every single person kind of needs something different. And Scott's much more, when we have like, I don't know if you do pussy worship or cock worship night or his and her night or whatever you call it. Whenever you say like, what do you want? It's your turn. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, can you just snuggle with me on the sofa and watch a movie? Like fully clothed. Like I just want to be near you and feel your energy and, you know, maybe kiss a little bit. And I'm the one that's like, I want all the sex for like 3 or 4 hours. Like all the ways you can give me the sex. Then I'll feel loved.
It is. I mean, it's awesome. And it's been a long time since we did, but we did take the test ourselves. And I remember watching the show? Who?
Sex, Love, Goop.
Jaya. Yeah, right. And when
yes, Jaya and Ian.
Learned about that. Right, yeah. I mean, it was fabulous. And really, I think, so good to know. And because everyone has different terms, and knowing what that is and what works for someone or what it is that gives me a frog in my throat, aren't going to make them feel connected or feel aroused in some way. It's so good to know that and to know what is going to really do it for someone and why. I think, again, all of these different combinations, and when you have the one-on-one time, you even get that greater sort of knowing or being able to sense that with people. But even in multiple person sort of experiences, it's great because you can kind of create that experience for someone who might want the kinky, more BDSM, bondage, restraints type of stuff, or someone who's going to want the sensual massage, you know, massage with the sensory experience, or me, probably like you, take it all and have a great night. Totally. But I think it's really important to try to learn about for yourself.
My last question for you is, do you three know any other throubles? Do you have throuble friends? Yeah.
I do. Ooh. I do. It's in Colorado before we moved. So we lived in Colorado. That's where we met. And then we moved to Florida about 2 years ago. But in Colorado, we had, I think, eight different triads at our house one night for a party.
What?
Sort of had the triad party. And then we've already met some out here, plenty online. And, just being part of the Facebook communities and groups, loosely friends, but people that we say anytime if you're in the area, like 100% we get together and get connected.
How
But
fun.
it's nice because you have just everyone knows kind of the experience in just a different way than if you describe it to your other friends, but they just don't get it. There's nuances that are sort of fun to talk about with other people in the same experience.
Yes, definitely. I'm in Arkansas, so you can imagine. I think we're
Yeah,
it.
that
I
means.
was in our we have this swinger group that is like this tri-state area that has thousands of people in it. And I posted the other day and I was like, are there any other Thrubbles out there? Like, and I posted a picture of us with one of our girlfriends, and nothing. It was like crickets. I had a few people that were like, that's the dream.
That's
So anyway,
tough.
I hope we continue to see more of this. And I'm so thrilled that you came on to share your story. I actually have only had Thruple talk on, so I've never had another Thruple. Usually this podcast is more just about how to open up your relationship, or it's about sex and, how to do it better. And, so this is kind of a fun new area that's that I've gotten to add in. And I'm curious if my listeners will have more questions about Thruples. So
If they do, and you ever want to have us back all three together, I'm sure we
yes,
could
that would be
probably arrange
amazing.
that as well. Yeah,
So talk
we'll
to me
consider that.
about your practice and your coaching, and like lead us through if people are like, I need some people to help coach me through this, or even what do you do? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yep. I'm a psychologist by training, 2.5 decades in the field. Got obviously very interested in this niche of ethical non-monogamy. For personal reasons, as we just talked about, and just realized there was a huge gap. And going into the coaching space, so I did a lot of work, especially when COVID hit and opening up a private practice and really sort of becoming more specialized, I guess I would say, in ethical non-monogamy and polyamory. But then I'm limited in terms of my license to only people that I'm, the states that I'm licensed in. And this doesn't often involve a mental health diagnosis. I'm not necessarily treating some sort of condition, but people can very much benefit from relationship counseling or coaching to help them learn all of these skills and to navigate judgment and insecurities and how to have effective communication and conflict resolution or manage time and scheduling and all these things you're just not taught because we're not role models. We don't have the role models in our society or media doesn't display this readily, right? So you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants. So I took all of my training professionally and clinically and opened up a coaching business so that I basically can work with anyone anywhere in the world. So if you have a question or want to talk to me, it does not matter where you are, you can reach out. It's at Dr. Rachel Meyer Coaching, DrRachaelMeyer Coaching, on all the social media places. And really, if you're a beginner, if you're not even that new, but you're struggling with ethical non-monogamy in some way, whether it's one, two, three, four, eight of you, doesn't really matter. I'll see you, I'll hear your story and figure out a way to help support you if I can.
Ah, oh, amazing. Thank you so much for being on today. This is so much fun. I'll make
Thank
sure
you
and
for
put your links
having me.
below. Yes. So if
Comes
you
along.
guys have made it to the end of this podcast and you're still with us, I want you to follow Dr. Rachel and then her partner. I'm going to also put her link below. That's for Casey. And then, yeah,
Is that are you talking
contact.
about the tried and true, by the way?
Yes.
That's actually our third, our triad.
Oh,
Casey has
wonderful.
her own personal, but you'll find our, yeah, it's basically our whole triad social media
Oh,
following tried and
fantastic.
true.
I guess I haven't seen your husband post, but I've only like looked through a couple of the posts, but perfect. Okay. So we will put
That's helpful.
your link to your triad, tried and true, in the notes below for Instagram. So if you guys would just take a minute and stop and follow them, and you can keep up with what it's like to be in a throuple that all lives together. And yeah, it's just like so empowering, so inspiring. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle.
I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that's really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do things better than we have in the past. So if any of these topics